You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
What is going on, everyone? This is the Traincast. I have a few announcements before we start. Today, I wanted to say, if you want to see any of the other podcasts that I have, you can go on trainerpodcast.com. That is T-R-A-I-N-O-R podcast.com. And on today's episode, I have my guest, Mike J, who's in the house. So we're going to just jump right into it. How's it going, Mike?
Going good. How about you, Ryan?
Good. Is this your first time being on a podcast?
First and a half. I've done a couple
had,
of these. Maybe.
Had a little technical difficulties, but we're gonna, keep our deep dark secrets that we had, in the Ethernet, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, in the abyss.
Yeah. So, Mike, you're into fitness. You're into teaching. This is what I wanted to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. So, let's dive into fitness first, since that's more of a topic I know a little bit about. So what is your website that you have? Like, you have your personal training website that you do. Kind of explain a little bit about that.
Okay. I have a personal training website, as you just mentioned. It goes Mike J Fitness. Mike J Fitness Online is another handle it gets searched by. Basically, I created it about two years now. Because I started originally as a personal trainer, but then I started to realize I wanted to dive a little bit more into like online stuff so I can do stuff at home, because a lot of people don't like to make the trip sometimes now to the gym to see actual trainer. And I figured this would be a little bit more affordable price. Plus, you know, I can work with a ton more people in a ton more different locations. Mm-hmm. Basically, what it entails is not so much the aspect of personal training, like overall, just, you know, I want to build muscle, I want to burn fat, but like more towards the actual thing of just overall well-being. So say, for example, someone's goal is just to bend over and touch their toes without hurting. That's something, you know, that's a goal for a lot of people. Some people want to be able to, you know, be more active with young kids. I had one client who was in Missouri, and his thing was that he had a three-year-old son, has a three-year-old son, and a seven-year-old daughter. And the thing was, though, daughter started playing soccer, and then he was just too out of shape to actually just play with her just in the backyard without getting winded. And he just stuck with playing goalie a lot, he told me. But, you know, just to actually run around with her and stuff, he couldn't do. He was one of those guys that took care of himself in high school, a little bit in college, and then
just tapered off.
Fell off. I mean, those are more of the people I try and gear towards. As well as just people who just say the excuse, you know, they can't make time to do this. And so I work with them around their schedules, their, you know, daily habits, and just implement things that just seem so minute, but actually just like drive home the actual thing of just getting to be a better individual and healthier you.
Yeah.
So that's what my website's geared towards. You know, I offer discounts for people in school, 'cause I know when I was losing weight, like, you know, I didn't have all the money in the world to actually do all this stuff. So I offer discounts for that. Retirees, also people in service or anything of that nature. So always keep it active. Not too much on the social aspect. Do I keep up with it on Instagram and all that stuff that much lately, because I've just had so much on my plate. But, you know, if someone sends a request, I work something out with them.
Well, I think that's like, you know, obviously we're friends, but, you know, I follow you as well. And like, your social media is cool because you balance your, you know, yourself as, you know, Mike, and like your personal training stuff, you know, it mixes in pretty well, I think. And I feel like people, even when, you know, that follow you, at least this is what I would think, just some of the motivation stuff that you would say might get them to, even if it's not like, you know, go out and run or go out and lift, like just be like, hey, like have a better day, because, you know, you're like one of the most positive guys I ever met. And I think just that in general, since a lot of people don't have that in their life, you know, can probably help a lot too. How do you feel bringing your personality into like fitness? Like, how does that like affect, you know, clients you've had or clients that you, you know, I guess want to have?
How I bring it into the whole thing of the fitness realm is that it's just being like a positive, upbeat you. I mean, for example, if, if you ever feel like you're having a bad day and stuff, the last thing you want to do is, like, you know, go exercise or just take care of yourself. You know, you want to, like, you want to have some ice cream. You want to have, like, a cookie. You want to go through Taco Bell. It's the best thing in the world. How I implemented it when I was personal training, and I still do it online, is that you have to be someone's, like, beacon light. You could be battling your own demons, too. For me, you know, I had my issues, things I went through in my life. But, you know, the people that were counting on you to, like, be that positive person, you have to do that. And how I brought it to light all the time is that, you know, someone will come to me saying they're having a bad day, you know, who am I to turn them down or shoot them down, or who am I to, like, make their day even worse?
Yeah.
For me, what I found was the best way to make someone laugh or happy was just, you know, crack a joke, get to know them, sense of humor. And people who never really had, like, a sense of humor to begin with, like, I didn't end up working well with them. Mm-hmm. Like, back in your day when you were training, you know, you had these people where you'd try and crack a joke or just a smile, and then you just have these stern-faced people just like, how dare you say that?
Are you making fun of me?
Like, no, I mean, like,
it's like, no.
You have to laugh at yourself. I had one client, just a leg raise on the ground. One of the more basic ab exercises.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just in high school, you're taught, you know, put your hands underneath your butt and just lift your legs.
Yeah.
The problem with this girl is that she couldn't keep her feet together.
Okay.
So she would just laugh. And then, I mean, it seemed like improper at the time, but what we did is she couldn't keep her feet together. So we just grabbed resistance bands and we tied her feet together. And then it worked. And then she was cracking up. I was cracking up. I mean,
and that's how 50 Shades of Grey was made.
Exactly. No, that's how it started. In person, it's one thing, but with my online handling all stuff, it's all through text, it's all through emails, it's all through written programs. So to get that positive vibe across, it's intermittent texting almost.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I see that, how my clients report back to me, you know, with their weights, or, you know, hey, I didn't get to this type of hypertrophy with my muscles. I didn't gain that extra, you know, quarter inch on my bicep or stuff like that, or lose that extra inch. I'd be like, I just crack a small joke. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I wish I could. But just those small little details just made the world difference for them. And that's the whole thing with just being fitness. It's not just, like, you know, being skinny, being fit. It's just being happy when you wake up, sort of, at least. Mm-hmm. Just, like, have a little pep in your step. I mean, that's all it really takes for a lot of people.
Yeah. I think it's – because personal training, you know, obviously it's in the name. It's personal training. You know, you gotta have a personality behind your training. But most people kind of get the concept of, like, you have to be like a drill sergeant. And I think that's kind of what, like, gravitated us together, you know, as, like, trainers and friends and stuff like that, is, you know, we're nice guys. Like, I could never be that person that would be like, you can't, you know, like, you know, and I'm not saying it doesn't have to be negative. I've seen people do it in a positive way. And I always was like, wish I could do that. Wish I could yell at someone and then, like, shake your hand after, or, like, give you a hug because you yelled at them for an hour. But I'm like, and so, you know, some people need that.
They do.
Have you ever felt like that, like, as a struggle, as, like, a personal trainer yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no one wants to be mean to someone.
Yeah,
no,
it's
I
weird.
Mean, there's some people that do.
Some people want it, though.
Oh, yeah. I've met a couple of trainers like that. But it's with my training where I was at, it was – what they needed or what they wanted. Mm-hmm. Usually when I met someone for the first time, we'd have a workout or something. Then during that time, I'd figure out what kind of person did they need. Did they need someone to chat to in between sets? Did they need someone just to keep on them? What was their fitness goal? So that's how it all blended, just to get to know your clientele. Like you and I, my biggest thing was just being, you know, serious on these people. Like, you know, they wouldn't — that person would be 150 pounds overweight. And I'm like, okay, so let's drop 20 pounds. And the next time I see them, they're up in weight, and I'd be like, well, what'd you eat? And my biggest thing to begin with was like, oh, next time you'll drop the scale a little bit. But the thing was, though, you got to realize it's these people are paying you for a service that you have to get them from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And you let them realize that in the very beginning. You have to let them know that. It's like, you know, sometimes you may hate me, and it's going to happen, but if you want to get from here to there – this is what we're committing to. And if I need to be this person, this is the route we're going to go towards. Mm-hmm. And you have to warp your personality a little bit. You have to be a little bit of, you know, a little crazy sometimes, but I yeah. mean, sometimes it's what they need.
And I think it's not as like, I feel like when you're coming into like training and some people get mm-hmm. Like I said, you have to be that drill sergeant type, but you don't. It's almost like the truth is just what you got to lay on them. And that can be hard because once you get to know these people that you're working with and, you know, yeah, you're working with them for a few weeks or months or whatever it is. And you're like, yeah, like you should be, you know, shedding this weight the way that this program is going, but you're not. And as you know their personality, you're like, I'm sure you went out this weekend or I'm sure you did this. Like, you know, you kind of have to be like, did you really come in Saturday? Oh, yeah. Or it's like, did you really do that?
Absolutely.
And it's like, you got to call them out on that. And you can do that in a like polite way, but it will just like, I almost think that's like for trainers like us, you know, where it's, you know, kind of, it sounds bad. It's like kind of like a guilt trip, you know, because mm-hmm. they're like, man, it's like, I thought you're going to just let that slide, but you're saying it so, you know, like, I think it's funny.
You got to. I had several people, and I'm sure you've had several people in the past. Yeah. Everyone who's been a trainer or is going to be a trainer is going to experience the people that that say they want it first two sessions in, then later on they don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be a hard ass, pardon my language. You have to
you can swear.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So you have to be a hard ass on them again. You just have to. No one wants it. You don't want it. They don't want it. But you can lighten up after a little bit.
Yeah.
I've had a client where she was type 2 diabetes. Mm. And this was several years ago. And the thing with her was just cutting out the sugar out of her diet. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing. I said, don't worry about calorie restrictions because we looked at it all. And I said, just cut this out, cut that out, and then we'll go from there. And she said, well, I can't drink my coffee without creamer. I was like, well, do you want to be diabetic yeah. or what do you want? It's like, were you willing to sacrifice it or what do you want out of this? So like I said, those small little details add up. And as us as trainers, I mean, we're some of the biggest hypocrites ever. I mean,
yeah.
sometimes, you know, it depends on our body types too, but we have to be able to enforce something on this. So, you know, sometimes trainers, they'll be trying to put on muscle mass. So they'll be eating and drinking these mashed portions. And then sometimes the clients will see them just eating like this huge 400 calorie like protein bar.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, oh, you can't be eating that because that's too much sugar for you. So, I mean, you have to know your client, yourself, and be able to portray it in a way that they'll follow it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Steve Maxwell? I think that's his name. I might be a little off on this, but he's a famous like jiu-jitsu personal trainer. His story is very interesting because he doesn't live anywhere and he's been so successful at training and he's been training since like the 70s or something.
God.
And he's just gotten so good. He literally just is like a vagabond and he just kind of goes to these places and like he just does so well. He can like stay up in a hotel or like kind of like buys a place. And it's a really cool story. But what I'm getting at with this is, I was listening to him and he was talking about how he, you know, would see young trainers now and, you know, they'd be like know-it-alls, like I know everything and all that. And he said, I remember being that guy and he's like older now. He's, I don't know, probably like his 60s or something, but
has to be.
Yeah. And, I just thought it made me think because I'm like, I was that guy. You know, I remember being like 18, 20 and being like, I got this all down. And it's like, well, duh, like I have the, you know, fast metabolism. I'm young. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, I can't get really hurt injury wise, you know, training's easy, you know, and then I would talk to someone older than me and be like, you know, why can't you lose weight? And now, obviously, a couple years later, you know, obviously we're not, you know, old, but yeah. It's like, how do you feel like your training has been different from when you started to like now? Because yours is way different than mine since you obviously went through like a transformation type deal.
Yeah. I mean, because my background, just in a quick nutshell, I lost 120 pounds. Now from, you know, and that was what drove me to be as a personal trainer because like, you
it's
know.
Great story, yeah.
I would have, you know, I met you and love you to death.
Yeah.
But like I would see these trainers who would just be like, who just had this fast metabolism, were always just in shape. Mm-hmm. But then I'd be dealing with people who just didn't have that, you know, had to lose 100 pounds. So I felt that's my niche.
Yeah.
I can identify with them. So, you know, for you, like it would just be, you know, eat a little bit less and you'll drop like 20 pounds. For me though, you know, my body type was that, that I had to really sweat a lot. I had to work out a lot and I had to really restrict myself. And everyone's body type's different. And there's a whole bunch of science behind all these different body types.
For sure. Yeah.
But we can spend hours on that.
Yeah.
But for me and just like how it changed over the years was just the amount of research and studies that come out every single year. Back when I first started training, which was 2011, 2012, like the biggest thing was it was starting to fade out was the Atkins thing.
Yep.
And you know,
that's coming back. I saw a commercial for it. It's like they revamped it and
there's,
you know, they're getting now to, and we could probably talk about diet forever too, but you know, it's like, obviously fats are good and you know, carbs are bad, sugar, like, you know, Atkins was kind of that, you know, it was like kind of more commercialized of that, but, and I remember people talking about it and, you know, it was the big rage and you know, then it like canceled out and I got really like, you know, on all these other things, but I literally just saw a commercial like probably like last week of it. Like they're just, they made new bars, like they have a new program. I'm like, oh, geez.
See, the thing, I mean, you had to go back to drawing with that because I remember just, I remember that diet and it was like, there was just so much cholesterol. Like, you know, eat whatever you want, meat, protein related, it doesn't matter. Just
exactly.
Make sure you don't have carbohydrates. But the thing is, though, your body requires carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Your brain requires it. Fact. That's it. There's no like, but this. Now the thing it's starting to fade off now was the carb cycling.
Yeah.
So I've done all these different diets. There's carb cycling. I've done intermittent fasting. Like I've tried all this stuff and I've done intermittent fasting. I mean, everyone's body responded differently and that's what I wish I knew when I first started.
For sure.
I mean, because back then my answer to everyone wanting to lose weight was, you know, start moving more, eating less.
Exactly.
No, you have to do more. Some people, their bodies responded when they started heavy lifting. Some people responded differently when they did more repetitions and just sweat a lot. So back then, I wish I would have known just all the different things. Going to Steve Maxwell, was it?
Yeah, that was the trainer.
So he's been doing this for years and years. He's seen like a million different diets. He's seen a million different workouts.
Black belt in that. So, yeah.
So he's done more than I ever could.
For sure, yeah.
More than you and I could.
Mm-hmm.
And with him, he just has that breadth of experience and knowledge. So, but he's worked with all these different people. So he knows a thing or two.
Yeah.
When we first started, you and I, we were just like, you know, okay, they just need to start moving. They start doing this. He could come in and say, well, obviously these workouts aren't doing it for them. And he would be able to tell him, like, look, I've seen this person. It took them a month to start seeing results. You kind of have the same body type. You're in the similar age. So I think this is the route we're going to go with you.
Yeah.
You know, you and I would just say, just hop on the treadmill for 20 more minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but, you know, I think, you know, it's with anything. It's like no first trainer, even how hot shot you could be or top gun you could be, you know, is going to know it right. Like, hey, you can have successful clients, but you are always going to run into that person. And this is why people are so interesting because everyone is so different. Like, you can read all the textbooks in the world, but someone will stump you on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I had this person go on for, you know, 2 hours of cardio and do this awesome pyramid thing, you know, with weights and whatever. And they're just not losing it or they're not gaining. Like, there's just, it's so tricky, you know? And even now after thinking about it, I'm like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, I'm like, what's the point of even learning? Like, I think about that sometimes, but there obviously is science behind
well,
it.
Well, so. There is, it is like the one thing that's held true over the years, it's 80% what you eat.
Yeah.
80% what you consume.
Very important. Yeah.
The thing is though, I had one client and they just thought they were just running would be the answer.
Yeah.
But the science behind this is they would eat whatever they want and say, oh, I just burn off the next day. It's not really how the body works. It takes about a few days for your body to get into a cycle of eating healthy and then get into a calorie deficit. It takes about 3 or 4 days, depending on the person.
Yeah.
And then this person would go and have a binger. It'd be alcohol, fried stuff, all this stuff. And they say, I'll just run it off the next day. And it's like, no, because what happens is you just raise your insulin levels so high, and then you're going to put all the stress on your body the next day trying to sweat it out.
Mm-hmm.
What's really going to happen is you're going to eat up your muscle tissue, which I wish I knew to tell all these clients back then. I mean, but it was too little too late because I didn't know all this stuff yet. So when your body's in that high of stress mode, you can run. Yes, you're going to drop weight. But the thing is, though, you're going to offset your metabolism by losing the muscle mass, too, because you're putting your body in all this, you know, this constant stress. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why, you know, the heart rate at 65% of your max is fat burn and 80% is cardio. There's a reason.
I hated that for
you. I know. That's like 220 minus your age and let's key this in.
Even though it was on all the equipment, you know, it was always there.
So and I'm like, just go until you can't go anymore.
Yeah, it's like if you need a breather, slow down.
Yeah. So it is all that science I wish I knew back when I first started.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of think – and this is what's like interesting now with a lot of, you know, there's, it's so different now, you know, I guess, you know, when I'm trying not to say we're so old, but it's like when we started, you know, it's these gyms, you know, it's like, you know, Fitness 19's, you know, Planets, you know, Planets Around.
Was it Crunch is coming out now?
Yeah, Crunch. Like there are all these like, you know, studio kind of things, which I like because it's brought in more people to open their own stuff. And like, you see these awesome new businesses that are their own thing, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, they're not chains, you know, they're not the McDonald's of fitness. And I like those. I'd rather like go to that and endorse that, even if it's in another state and I can probably never go there. Mm-hmm. But, what I'm getting at, it's just like, I think people are starting to realize that like not just going to the gym and just, you know, get on the hamster wheel and mm-hmm. then like going through the, you know, dumb machines that they have set up and like have some guy that like writes your name and be like, yeah, like, you
know, welcome
like,
in.
Yeah.
Come on
it's
in.
Like, no, you got to have like a lot more personality to it, you know, and it's I think that's what people need now. So what do you think about the, like the influx of that of just like those, you know, chains going and like more personal studios and stuff like that coming up?
I mean, all these chains, I mean, at the end of the day, as long as people are going to be just somewhat active, then everyone's winning.
That's
but,
true. That's very good.
I mean, that was the thing when we worked for Fitness 19. Like, what drew me to that club when I first started was just, you know, personality-wise. Like, I'd come in the door, someone would greet me. And then over time, you know, I developed relationships or, like, friendships, all that stuff with these different people. And it was so cool. I mean, I belong to different gyms. I've been in different gyms before and just mm-hmm. – with the influx of all these things, it just saturates the market a little bit.
Yeah.
I know there's a place opening up in West Bloomfield, like a powerhouse one. Okay. They're saying he's like the biggest state of the art, all these different rooms and all this stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, whatever draws you in to go do it, just go do it. I mean, classes and studios, those are taking off like crazy and they're already taking off.
Yeah.
I mean, no one really wants to go to just a regular gym anymore. I mean, people just lack the motivation and I somewhat contribute it to just the way we are as a society now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not any different from anyone else. Like, I love cruising my phone. I love just playing video games. I love just – like the other day, I was just sitting on my PlayStation just like, you know, man, I want to watch a movie. And I have
Netflix. Yeah.
I have Netflix. I could buy the movie. I could do whatever I want here. I mean –
it's a beautiful time.
Oh, yeah. And just – like no one wants to go out and just do it themselves a lot. I'm getting to that point too. I think it just happens. But – with these classes and stuff, I think it's a good thing for fitness. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to get people to start moving a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as like personality wise, that's disappearing though.
Yeah. Wait, so you're saying it's disappearing?
Like I'd say like, how do I put this? Like if you were to walk into one of the Fitness 19s, like,
yeah.
You know, it's a very small local gym.
Yeah.
So you'll chances are if you live in that city, you'll bounce into someone you meet or you will just, you know, you'll know people up front and then, you know, they get to know you pretty fast.
Yeah.
And some people like that. I'm not one of them, but I know for a fact I've had clients, I've had friends like, oh, they remember my name. I love coming to this place. I love coming
it
here.
It goes a long way.
It does. And I was shocked. I had one of my clients who said she didn't want to come there anymore because they said that there was no one up front to greet her.
Or the
no
people
one.
Moved on.
And I was like, are you serious? Yeah. Like that just ruined my whole day. And
that
for
is
me,
sad.
And for me, like, I would just like, okay, I don't have to talk to anyone. It's a whatever. I can just go work out. But like these chains and stuff, like it's going to be hard to be more personable with some of these people. So, I mean, like I said, that'll lose a little bit. And with all the anxiety of people actually saying hi to one another,
yeah,
confrontational wise nowadays is disappearing. But But fitness wise, I mean, hey, they're in, they'll do a class,
yeah,
workout, whatever.
There is still that because, you know, I have those modes too where, you know, I sometimes don't want to be bothered and I would rather go outside a few miles because I would know I wouldn't run into anyone that's mm-hmm. in my area or whatever. And, you know, there is some logic behind that, you know, because it's like maybe you just want to get in your half hour, mm-hmm. your hour and get out. But, you know, if you like fitness, no, you want to come into a place where you're not like being judged, you know, and I mean, hate using the Planet Fitness thing.
I know, but the thing you have to,
they definitely had a good tagline.
Oh yeah. The Planet Fitness. I mean, I love it cause it's 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I just go there when I can. But the thing you have to remember is this: at the end of the day, one of the old managers of Fitness 19 I worked at, he just said, you have to remember a gym is not a necessity for people.
Yeah.
They'll come and go. Like years ago, there was Bally's, there was Vic Tannings, I've heard in like West Bloomfield, like places I've never even heard of. Like, and they people say, "Oh, you're too young to remember that." And I'd say,
"I remember Bally's." Like they, were I remember huge Bally's back in the day.
Yeah, but you. So all these places are going to come and go.
Yeah.
So for me, when you're asking that question, like, you know, is it worrisome or was? And my thoughts, I'm like, there's going to be a place to exercise at, regardless. It'll be called something different and might go somewhere else, but there's always going to be some place to do something.
So on a little bit more fun of the level, because, you know, we can talk about fitness probably all day, but what are your pet peeves of – let's break it into two topics here. We'll talk about of just like exercise pet peeves. Like what are your big ones there?
Loud grunting and slamming.
Really?
I know the mentality behind it. I know. I've grunted a couple times. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I really try not to. It's just like common courtesy.
So you're the one that turns the light on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I've never had the lunk alarm sounding on me, so that's awesome. But that is one of my biggest pet peeves, just the loud slamming, loud grunting. Like, okay, fine, you're going through pain, you're going through the hypertrophy, you're breaking apart the muscle tissue, you're growing. Okay, whatever. I don't care.
It's not that bad, though. You know, that's what I don't get. You hear some, and it's like
it sounds like they're having sex.
Yeah, that's where it's
there's
weird.
A couple guys, yes,
that's so like we all push ourselves at some capacity, and it's like, you know, we've all gotten there. And I'm like, I've never had to like yell. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. There's that, and then there's a couple actually. There's three I can think of. I know I'm probably going to offend people when I say it, but it's like the ones that are just scared to go exercise at a place. It's like, no one's judging you. If they are, they're some of the worst people in life.
And so they're there and they're scared to do stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Like they don't want to be judged. Like if someone's trying to do a plank or someone's too big to get on a machine. I mean, I've had a client before where they were too tall to get on any of the machine equipment. But with their joints and pains and issues, like they couldn't do a lot of free weights. So we stuck with machines to start them off. But thing is, they were so tall. They were like, I don't know if I want to do all this. Like this guy was huge. So and then there's bigger people who just don't want to go in because they're worried they're going to be picked on or ridiculed because they're bigger. And it's, you know, you're there to make a difference.
Yeah.
So no one's telling you, no one's really going to care.
I think that's actually, I'm very happy I never saw that, you know, and it's like, I still to this day, it's like, I would knock somebody out if I just saw, like, you know, someone just trying to like come in and like, I even, it's like the guys that are more fit, like, you know, like, Men's Magazine fit or whatever, those are the ones I would towards making fun of than like anybody else.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like
those people don't eat. Like the things that, they don't eat.
Yeah.
They don't live a life.
Exactly.
It's
like you just, you know, you got to rethink your life.
Like our buddy who has that studio, Brad Goodstein. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget when I was losing weight. I told him like, Brad, I mean, I messed up. Like, I had ice cream. He looked at me like, you got to live.
Yeah.
You have to live. And these people on these magazines and stuff, like, they don't have a life.
Yeah.
Like, if you read up on them or their actual day-to-day, like, their whole reason for being is to take photos.
Yeah.
They can get
they're
up.
Models. You know?
They can get up in the morning, do the fasted cardio, eat whatever, and then go work out later at night. But then there's people with, like, actual jobs.
Yeah.
So those fitness models do kind of annoy me too, because it's like, oh, you can do it too, and like, I'm sorry, but I have to be at work at 7 a.m. I have a crying baby and yada yada yada. But
yeah
it is what it is. I think those and also the people who don't bathe or wear deodorant,
yeah,
those are the biggest pet peeves of mine.
Yeah,
the people who just don't bathe. There's like, oh, I can wing with no cologne or too much body spray. Like, yeah. Dude, we need to breathe.
Yeah.
Share the air.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Those are my worst pet peeves. I don't know
those
about you.
Those are some good ones. Yeah. I agree. And it's like, I mean, you have to wear deodorant for sure. Like, yeah. You're going to a place to perspire.
I'm like, surprised come on. Planet Fitness doesn't sell deodorant. Planet Fitness, if you're listening, sell deodorant.
Why hasn't any gym done that? I've never seen that.
They should. You know, they'd make a killing.
Just like, go to the dollar store. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Those little dollar miniature travel size, sell it for $2 and you'll make profit already. Or $1.50.
I am surprised I've never seen that anywhere.
They'll sell smoothies. They'll sell the tanning creams, bars, all this stuff. But some deodorant, no, we don't sell that. Okay.
You should have in like a glass case too. It's like, you know, they have the clunk alarm. It's like, we got a BO.
Break it in case of the smelly person.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. They probably would do that, and that would make somebody go crazy. So.
Oh, gosh. That would be like a miracle.
Now, what would your pet peeves of like diet? Because I think this is an interesting one since this – goes off of people that, you know, aren't in the gym, you know, because there's some people that have very healthy lifestyles that, you know, just eat phenomenally good. You're like, how, like, what do? You do CrossFit? Do you do this? And they're like, no, I just eat, you know, a lot of salads. And it's like, And like, you realize they are just super healthy, you know?
Yeah. Pet peeves is, how do I put this in words? I always find the words for this.
That's cool.
Pet peeves for the actual, like, you know, aspect of diets and nutrition and all that stuff. My biggest pet peeve is just either A, just starving yourself.
Yeah.
Or B, just doing the low to no carb for forever. Mm. The reason is, again, because carbohydrates you need your body to fuel off of for any function whatsoever.
Yeah.
Also, just the starving yourself, it's not good for your nervous system.
Yeah.
It's not good for you actually just your overall health. You know, stuff shuts down without nutrients. And just saying, oh, I'm just not going to eat until like 8 o'clock tonight or later tonight. It's like you got it.
Have you ever seen a starving person?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like the intermittent fasting, again, that's a big thing.
But that's like a controlled –
Yeah. So they think like, you know, oh, I'm just going to not eat until – 8 o'clock, and then I have this 2-hour window, but then they do it for like a month. But the thing is though, your body is going to shut down.
Like, yeah.
Like you're not going to be able to heal properly. You're going to get sick within 2 weeks because you have no immunities. You're not going to feel normal at all. You could do it a couple days out of the week. I've done that with clients. I've done it myself, but it's the thing is though, fasting, you need nutrients.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. You go right back to eating. That's how it works.
And it's like that whole ketosis thing with like fasting. Like if you can get into that state, you know, you can survive those hours or those days and stuff like that. But that's about, you know, what you ate the day before. You know, diet still is a part of it. It's not like you can eat McDonald's the day before and fast.
And the thing is, though, those people on ketosis, they also don't drink enough water.
Yeah, that's important.
That's the thing. Like the water flushes everything out of you. Yeah. You have to get all that stuff out of you. If it stays in you, no good will come from it.
Okay.
And that's another thing people forget to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, we could stay on that for hours, but those are my two biggest pet peeves, I think, for that.
Now, I just wanted to bring this up, and this will probably it's nothing crazy, but I just think this is interesting to talk about to talk to somebody that's like into like fitness and stuff, but like supplementation, you know, it's like, what is your opinion on that? Like, is it super necessary? Is it like, some people go off the rails with it. And I remember being one of them. I used to drop like hundreds of dollars at all these vitamin stores. And then I realize it's a waste of money, basically.
I'll never forget. I think it was in 2012, 2013. I was in this one class with these people, as you know, usually you are. and I was at a table with these girls, and the two girls were talking about their boyfriends, how both their boyfriends are huge workout people. And then one of them went to the Arnold Classic, which I think is going on this weekend too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's in Ohio.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It always is. What happened was the one girl said her boyfriend wants to get, you know, huge. And she showed me a picture, and he was like a decent looking guy. She said he was about like 6'2" and he's like 190 pounds. Like that's a big guy. He's pretty good. She's like, but he wants to get huge. Like he wants to like have like the, you know, his arms just really tight and all the sleeves. And the thing is though, she said, and I'll never forget, like everyone's body can only get so big without something that's not natural going in your body.
Yeah.
I'm no different from you that I have done supplementation. I still do some supplementation.
Yeah.
The only thing I really take is branched chain amino acids. Sometimes I take some protein powder. I'm not as heavy as I used to be because I'm just trying to be all natural food with my diet.
Yeah.
And then I take a multivitamin and some fish oil just to get some more omega-3s in my diet. But the necessity of them, like, you have to remember, supplementation, it's supplementing what you should already be getting in.
Yeah.
There's been days when I've, you know, I've been on the road, like I'd be driving left and right to clients. I've been driving different cities sometimes where I would just only have a tub of protein in my backseat and that's what I did for the day. But then that's all I had and there's no nutrients in it.
But that saves it's you just, from getting, you know, to the fast yeah, food, you know.
It does so. Save you. But to live off of it, though, is
that's
not.
That's where you cross the line.
Yeah.
So people are like, what's in your water?
And that, you know, I take pre-workout here and there for like days I'm dragging. Just, mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to be mindful of what you're putting in your body, though, because a pre-workout, it's a crap ton of B vitamins and caffeine and some niacin just going in your system. Yeah. So your blood vessels, you're going to be like, your face sometimes itches, which means there's a lot of chemicals in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll be getting a very, very heavy heart rate and just get you going. And I get the premise of it. It perks you up. But some people just live on that.
Yeah.
I met people that take like a couple scoops of it when the dosage is one scoop is like 1,000% of your daily. So supplementation, again, you have to remember it's supplemented to what you're already taking it.
For sure.
So
yeah.
It's not a necessity.
Yeah. And I always thought, you know, with the pre-workouts and stuff, since they were such a hot, thing to get with just, you know, it's mm-hmm. going to make you bigger, stronger. And like, you know, it just jacks you up because it's just, you know,
oh, yeah.
Red Bull times 1,000.
Yeah.
And I always remember people, there'd be these things we would take and then you'd find out they're like illegal. Like they mm-hmm. just had stuff in them. You know, it's like, oh, yeah.
Jack 3D.
Jack 3D.
Yeah, that was
and people
it.
Were like all about it and they were like pissed that stores got rid of it and it's like you're not listening, you're not reading these things, it's like this is illegal, like yes. You're taking drugs.
There was when I was working one day, I think it was towards the end of my personal training career in person, it was this one guy said, you know, he's about in his like mid-40s, he said, oh, back in the 90s, you know, there's this, I can't remember the name of the supplement, but he said one guy died off of it and then they sued yeah. the company and the company shut down. I was like, a person died off of it. That says something.
They had this one supplement, I remember, because they rebranded it and came out and, you know, came out like during our time and it was called like the orange drink or something like that. And mm-hmm. and I tried it because like I saw it in a bunch of like muscle magazines and stuff. I'm like, oh, you know, it just tastes like orange juice basically. But it was like a pre-workout. And it, you know, it's like been around since, you know, 1970, blah, blah, blah. And I researched it because like someone I was listening to like talked about it. And I guess the guy that made it from the beginning, like it literally was steroids like during the 80s and all this stuff. Like the stuff I was taking was just caffeine. It was just like, you know, they're trying to like bring it back.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, my God. Like it's like the whole like kind of concept of like Coca-Cola. Like there used to be cocaine in Coke, you know. It's like mm-hmm. so many of these lines already have been tainted and they still – get tainted now. It's just crazy how many people just like believe in that stuff.
Supplementation is like a something $1 billion yeah. a year, whatever. Like if you go into a vitamin shop or something like or along the lines of that, means if you look on all those shelves, like
yeah.
about a third or a fourth of those are actually approved by the FDA.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
So you have to be
there's
mindful.
There's some good ones, but I think the majority of them are just all like BS. That's what I think. But,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I like what you said with like your lineup, you know, like all that. It's like, yeah, like that's like what a normal person should do, you know. Yeah.
If you take pre-workout every day, you're going to have, you know, increased heart palpitations, all these different things yeah. wrong with yours.
Just drink some coffee. You'll do a lot better.
Oh, gosh.
Or tea,
yeah.
you know.
Tea, coffee, right before you work out. It's the way to go.
Yeah. So I wanted to segue a little bit into, you know, some of the other stuff that you do. And,
oh, sweet.
You know, I know you're a teacher and
mm-hmm.
I
confirm.
Yeah. So how's everything going with that? You have a donation going on for a new library that you're talking about building?
Yeah. The teaching is going great. You know, there's those days just like any other job where you're like, oh, God, what did I do with my life? I should have done this. I mean, because I was going to be a physical therapist, but again, 20 years down the road, I didn't see myself liking it. This, I just continue just to love and love every single day because it yeah. is almost like configuring a puzzle with these kids in minds. That's the part I love about it. Yeah, I am trying to build a library for a school. I work for a local charter school in Southfield. I know charters get a bad rep, especially now, so more days.
What's like a charter? What does that mean?
Public school is usually funded by state and cities and stuff like that, and yada yada. And everything is just centralized with that school. So, say for example, if $1,000 goes towards a school, the school system holds on to it. Charter schools are ran by business people. So
I never knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know either until I started working for one. Someone had explained it to me. So you and I, say if we were just multimillionaires, billionaires, we say, you know what, Ryan, you and I, we can go, let's go open a school. You'd be like, all right, let's do it. We would be considered a charter school.
So the X-Men had a charter school.
Yeah.
I guess, you know.
So, yeah.
That's the only analogy I could think of.
And the thing is why charter schools get a bad rep is because they think all this money bypasses the kids and the necessities and goes straight towards the pockets of these business owners, which is sometimes, yes, it does. But we also get funding from the state. My school, though, they just moved buildings. Like, they broke apart fifth grade from elementary, and they put them in middle school.
Okay.
And the middle school got relocated to a new building because another charter school got kicked out because they weren't doing too hot. And that's what happens to these schools. They shut down without proper test scores. Mm-hmm. Our school, it's not the best, but it's not the worst either. So
no school is the best, you know.
No. Well, compared to others, we're not doing the best, but we're doing a lot better than most. Mm-hmm. But our goal, especially my goal along with my team, is that we're trying to build this up. And so far, we're making progress. The one thing that we all wish we had was a school library, which these kids have not had. And it blew my mind when I was getting, you know, a tour for this new place. And, you know, I said, okay, so where's the library? And they said, well, we don't have one. And I said, okay, well, I have a ton of books for my classroom that kids can read, I guess. But the thing is, though, you have to realize, like you and I, anyone in this world, when you go to a library, you expect like a ton of these different books, ton of different options. And by the end of the year, you probably, if you're an avid reader, taking about like 20, 40, 50, or how many times you read a year out of there. But you've gone through these millions and millions of books. Shrink that down to maybe about 200 maybe-ish books in your classroom and you have 25 kids, you're not going to please all of them.
Yeah.
So you have people that are reading more than that too. So it started with one of my team members. She wanted to get the school library and, you know, she made some segue and I said, okay, I want to help too. So I started a GoFundMe. So we started, you know, collecting donations from books. I started the GoFundMe, which we have a fund for. And our goal, well, my goal and her goal and everyone's goal, at least just get books. We have a room picked out, but the funding for mine would go towards not only books, but it goes towards binding for the books. So it would be a big arts and crafts project, but it would prolong the lifespan of these books by at least 8 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then it would also go towards bookshelves. That's our last thing because we could just build some bookshelves out of wood for right now for all I care.
Yeah.
Like the goal is we have to help 5th grade through 8th grade, which is where our school holds. 600 kids, we need a lot more books than we do shelves.
You're saying there was like 200 books for 600 kids?
Well, for my classroom.
For your class.
But you got to remember, like 200 books, like these books are from ages like 5 to, I want to say 15, 16. Because whenever you're a teacher, you want to be able to, that, you know, there's going to be kids in your classroom who aren't that best at reading. So you need lower books.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you need kids who are like, oh, I read the whole Harry Potter series in a week last week, you know. You need books for those kids too. Mm-hmm. So you need all that blend. And the thing is, at the end of the day, you're only limited on what they can select. It's like going to a Blockbuster video and just scrolling.
You're not
going to
like everything.
Yeah. You need more selection. So that is my mission right now, to help build the school library.
How's that going?
So far, so good. I'm about halfway to my goal. I'm still looking for donations or at least just shout outs or shares because I share the page. Not often the past couple of weeks, but I'm going to reshare it again in the next couple of weeks with some new pictures. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. We got a nice little nook and cranny of donations of books. I have not touched a dime of that money since I started it. Not a dime.
That's good.
The reason is because either A, want to hit my goal, or B, I have a date. And then we're going to take that funds and then we're just going to go on the shopping spree at local bookshops online and build it up as best we can with what little time we have.
If you had 5 books that you could get to your kids that you, I don't know if you have them or not, but that you would like hope they could read, what would they be?
50 Shades of Grey.
No, no. It's like, gosh, you're
no.
fired.
No, I'd be gone.
Yeah.
No, God, I hated that book. That book sucked.
Wait till you see the movie.
Oh, gosh, yeah. 5 books. Well, you have to pick at least one of the Harry Potters. I always go for the first. For me, the first was my favorite, Sorcerer's Stone. A couple of Goosebumps. My favorite one was The Haunted Mask.
That's a good one.
I wasn't big into reading as a kid as much as I was writing the stories myself. That was my thing. A couple others was Phantom Tollbooth. That's always a classic. There's one called The Higher Power of Lucky, which is really good. And then nowadays, it is a big thing as Wonder, which is really, really great.
That's the one that that movie was based off of, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but just came out. It was. I mean, it didn't do the, yeah, it didn't do the best in theaters, but I mean, the message.
I heard good things. I actually, I'm interested in seeing it. So,
I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying, like, you know, it wasn't like Black Panther pulling in $1 billion.
Sure,
in the movie,
it's a little different story. Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the 5 books I would do.
Well, that's cool. And I saw this thing. It's like down my block from where I live. They had this cool idea, and I don't know if this is like something you could do to help with your library once you built it, because mm-hmm. they had this like donation box on a corner, and it's just like, it's like almost a birdhouse. It was in the, it's just a post, and it had this like, you know, wooden box with a glass case and stuff like that. And they just were like, please donate free books. Mm-hmm. And we walk our dogs past it all the time, and it's just always filled with books. And I guess people can like take one out and put back in and like do all this stuff. And I thought it was very interesting. So I don't know, maybe something to look into.
I mean, it was suggested for one for a local gym that we do that, but I haven't heard anything back yet. So
well,
always open to ideas. I mean, it'd be good.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Oh, absolutely. But suggestions,
man, I wish we could talk more about the school stuff and all that, but we're a little out of time. So where can everyone reach you and, you know, say your donation again, please. And your fitness stuff too.
Well, if you're looking for training or anything, it's Mike J Fitness Online. You can look me up on web. I have an Instagram handle by that name too, Mike J Fitness. For the funding for the book is called Help a School Get a Library. It's located in Southfield, Michigan, and that's the best way to find me.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Mike. You've been an awesome guest.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.